Hello, this is Dick Hayden from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I shall be reading to you from Spare Times News and Notes of the Raleigh Outlaws of February 1, 2019 by Ginger Rush. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and has been edited for currency, clarity, and time constraints. Please note, read this issue carefully as we have a lot of events coming up and many overlapping entry deadlines. We will bowl every Friday night in February. If we end up with another night of bad weather, we will have to bowl on Good Friday. So everyone, please pray that any snow we get comes at the beginning of the week. The 19th annual Durham Sweethearts Tournament will be held on Saturday, February 23, beginning at 9 a.m. with registration beginning at 8 a.m. The tournament will be held at Village Lanes, 330 North Hardy Street, Durham, North Carolina, 27703. The alley's phone number is 919-682-9145. Entry fees of $35 are due to the Durham Pin Devils, care of Wendell Williamson, Tournament Director, 4308 Emerald Forest Drive, Apartment F, Durham, North Carolina, 27713, by February the 10th. Outlaw entry deadline to be in the lane envelopes is tonight, February 1. CBA's Mailographic will be bowled during the month of February. Leagues should expect info on it by the end of next week, with the entry deadline the end of January. We will bowl the CBA Mailographic on Friday, February 8. The Forsyth Blind Bowlers invite everyone to the annual Charles E. Roan Invitational Blind Bowlers Tournament to be held on Saturday, March 16, 2018 at Creekside Bowling Lanes, 1450 Trademark Boulevard, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Registration begins at 9 a.m. and bowling begins at 9:30. All teams should consist of four bowlers, one totally blind or equivalent, one-sighted, and two of any vision level in between. Use last year's ABBA average or a current average if you do not have an average from last year. Handicaps will be figured at 90%. Entry fees are $35 per bowler and are due to Winston by March 6. Please send all entry forms and money to Forsyth Blind Bowlers, care of Jerry Mintz, M-I-N-T-Z, P.O. Box 17101, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27116. Outlaw entries are due in the lane envelopes no later than Friday, March 1. Information about the outlaw departure time, etc., will be determined soon. Get your crock pots ready. Our annual chili soup stew and dessert cook-off is scheduled for Saturday, March 2. We will be using the Fellowship Hall at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, 2100 Noble Road in Raleigh, 27608. The time is from 4 to 8 p.m. The cost to eat is $5. It is free to enter a dish, and we will have prizes for first, second, and third place in each category. You do not have to be a bowler to enter or to come and eat, so bring your friends. National Tournament Hotel Information. The 2019 ABBA National Tournament will be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, May 29 to June 3, 2019. Our host hotel is Sheraton Station Square Hotel, 300 West Station Square Drive in Pittsburgh. The room rate is $105 per night plus 14% tax. This would equate to almost $120 per night. The hotel requires that when you make your reservation, you are going to be charged for the first night on your credit card. For this reason, each individual is responsible for booking their own accommodations. Should you need to cancel, you may do so up to 48 hours in advance in order to be refunded your deposit. Failure to cancel by this time will result in no refund. To reserve, please call 1-800-325-3535. Be sure to note that you are with the ABBA. Cutoff date to get the group rate is April 29, and the group rate will be honored 3 days before and 3 days after the tournament, based on availability. The hotel is located 18 miles from the Pittsburgh International Airport and 3 miles from the Amtrak train station. Average cab rate is $40 one way. Uber is approximately $25 each way. Super Shuttle provides service at a discounted price of $22 each way. They will also provide complimentary shuttle up to 3 miles of the hotel. Right outside the door of the hotel is the historic Station Square, a bustling 2-acre dining entertainment complex. Station Square is the most popular dining and entertainment destination in Pittsburgh. We will be bowling at the Noble Manor Lanes, 2440 Noblestown Road, Pittsburgh, 15205. They have 40 lanes, an on-site pro shop, arcade, lounge, and snack bar. They will provide a breakfast and a lunch menu for the tournament. Entry fees of $70 for the regular tournament and an additional $20 for the Masters event are due in the lane envelopes no later than March 1. This will allow ample time to set up teams and submit forms to the tournament director well before the March 15 deadline. Guests attending and not bowling will need to pay a $12 registration fee in order to attend the tournament events at the hotel, such as hospitality and the like, and or to ride the tournament transportation to the bowling alley. SBBA tournament information. The bowlers in our league are invited to participate in the Southeastern Blind Bowling Annual Tournament. This year's tournament will be held in Hampton, Virginia, April 4, 5, and 6. Entry fees are $56 for singles and doubles and teams, with an additional $25 due for the Masters. Any outlaws who would like to enter should have their fees in the lane envelopes no later than Friday, March 8, and should include their $6 SBBA sanction fee. We will be staying at the Crown Plaza Hampton Marina. Included is a breakfast for up to 2 people per room per day. The rooms are $104 plus tax for either 2 double beds or 1 king bed with a sleeper. The phone number to call for reservations is 757-727-8914. And when making reservations, let them know that you are with the Southeastern Blind Bowlers Association to get the special rate. The cutoff date is March 14, 2019. Reservations made after this date will be at a higher rate. The bowling competition will be held at Century Lanes, 1519 Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. Phone number is 757-722-2551. The scheduled events are as follows. Friday evening at 7 p.m., we will have a short meeting at the hotel, and everyone is welcome to come and participate because we value your opinions. Then at 8 o'clock p.m. until 10, there will be a hospitality room with light refreshments and plenty of socializing. At that time, you will be able to pick your schedules. Saturday morning at 9 a.m., the bowling will begin with a team event. In the afternoon at 1 p.m., the Masters tournament will be held. On Friday morning at 9 a.m. and noon, if needed, the tournament will conclude with the doubles and singles competition. If you have not sanctioned with SBBA and would like to attend the tournament, you can include your $6 fee with your entry. So here are the important dates and other information for this tournament, all wrapped up together. The tournament date, April 4th through 6th, 2019. Entry date, March 14. Cutoff date for statistical sheet information, March 1. Hotel, Crown Plaza Hampton Marina, 700 Settlers Landing Road, Hampton, Virginia, 23669. Phone number, 757-727-8914. Room rate, $104 plus tax per night. Hotel reservation cutoff, March 14. Bowling Center, Century Lanes, 1519 East Pembroke Avenue, Hampton, Virginia, 23663. Phone number 757-722-2551. Entry fees, regular tournament $56, master tournament $25. Make all checks payable to SBBA Tournament and then mail them to Sandy McDaniel, 115 Powell Boulevard, apartment 14102, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114. A big welcome to the world to the newest outlaw. Zanilla Rose McLean was born at 12:33 a.m. Saturday, January 26. She weighed 7 pounds even and was 20 inches long. Van McLean Jr. is the proud daddy, and Terry and Van McLean Sr. are the proud grandparents. Please keep Bonnie and Roscoe Merritt in your prayers. Bonnie had a bit of a medical scare earlier this week, but is now at home again. She is still in need of prayers for healing, and Roscoe needs our prayers as he cares for her. We have a happy birthday to our one outlaw born this month, Cynthia Burdine, whose special day is next Wednesday, February 6th. And a name change. The North Carolina Rehabilitation Center for the Blind has changed their name. We got rid of the rehabilitation part. It's now the DSB Career and Training Center. For those of you that do not know DSB, it is the Division of Services for the Blind. Attention, bowlers. When you know you are going to be out, please let Sharon know, even if it is at the last minute. We cannot guarantee a sub for you, but there is always a chance of getting one, but we have to know. Also, as soon as you know you need a night off, let Sharon know, even if it is sometime in the future, so that we can begin looking for subs. Are you job hunting? The Sightly, not slightly, but sightly worn thrift store is looking for a manager. See Sharon B. for details. The person should have some vision, but does not need to be fully sighted. We have some ABB awards that have been given, or will be given rather, as follows. For single games over average of 100 pins over, 75 pins over, and 60 pins over, and for averages of less than 100. Two categories, silver and bronze. PM in silver, PM 225 and over, TM 175 and over, PF 195 and over, TF 155 and over, SM 260 and over, SF 230 and over. In the bronze category, PM 215 to 224, TM 165 to 174, PF 185 to 194, TF 145 to 154, SM 250 to 259, and SF 220 to 229. Triplicates and the following splits: 4-6, 4-6-10, 4-6-7, 4-6-7-10, 7-8-10, 8-10, 7-9-10, 7-9, and 7-10. If anyone bowls a game which qualifies for an award, please let Ginger know, preferably by email or a note, so that it can be requested. And Hot Shots are next, back by popular request. Everybody wants to know. So here we have them for Week 13, Week 14, and Week 15. Let's begin with Week 13. Renee Benton, 145. Azariah Dowd, 130. Shelby Foster, 124. Sharon Benton, 156. Miriam Dixon, 127. Ralph Height, 179. Darwishi Adams, 95. Mike Blunt, 132. Lois Sanders, 130. Don Ball, 95. Carla Smith, 156. Kevin Foster, 207. Thelma Crumpler, 145. Reggie Blunt, 123. Van McLean Jr., 187. Herbert Everett, 181. Mike Rush, 91. John Watson, 114. Daniel Dixon, 213. Frank Foster, 90. Dwight Jones, 110. And Rochelle Sharp, 87. Moving on to week 14, Cynthia Burdine, 103. Dennis Glenn, 91, twice. Karen Broderick, 119. Jeff Tucker, 99. Shelby Foster, 117. Francis Council, 124. Albert Roberson, 132. Marjorie Conyers, 163. Ralph Height, 192. Zelda Price, 143. Kaisha Adams, 124. Letitia Adams, 114. Linda Lewis, 65. Brian Lewis, 86. Tommy Simmons, 103. Carla Smith, 171. Kevin Foster, 162. Thelma Crumpler, 127. Reggie Blunt, 118. Van McLean Jr., 157. Ginger Rush, 168. Mike Rush, 78. Robert Parrish, 167. And Rochelle Sharp, 105. And week 15. Cynthia Burdine, 101. Dennis Glenn, 17. Van McLean Sr., 108. Jeff Tuckery? I can't pronounce that properly. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm going to go with Jeff Tucker with an E on the end, okay? 92, Azaria Dowd, 113, Francis Council, 121, Albert Roberson, 138, Sharon Benton, 127, Marjorie Conyers, 134, Ralph Height, 193, twice with an exclamation mark, Brenda Haney, 118, Kaisha Adams, 119, Letitia Adams, 134, Linda Lewis, 60, Brian Lewis, 97, Michael Edwards, 142, Don Ball, 78, Carla Smith, 170, Kevin Foster, 177, Thelma Crumpler, 129, Reggie Blunt, 120, Herbert Everett, 173, Rochelle Sharp, 109, Ginger Rush, 152, Mike Rush, 96, John Watson, 96, I'm sorry, yes, also 96, Daniel Dixon, 242, Alice Kelly, 106, and Robert Parrish, 124. To benefit the CBA youth account, we have another raffle going on. The first prize is a $100 gift card, second prize is a $50 gift card, and third prize is a homemade quilt. Tickets are $1, and we will draw for the winner at the Raleigh Outlaw Invitational next spring. You do not have to be present to win. See Jeff Tucker for your tickets. Outlaw Clothing. If anyone is in need of Outlaw shirts or jackets, please see Ginger. 12 items are needed in order to place an order. The detailed information about the clothing and the price list are on the back page of your email copy of these notes, and payment in advance is requested. And now on to Top Tech Tidbits. We're reading the titles and descriptions of Top Tech Tidbits. You can access them and all of their associated web addresses by subscribing to Flying Blind at www.flyingblind.com for a weekly email that also includes classified ads for various pieces of computer equipment, screen readers, braille displays, etc. The associated web addresses are also available by calling the Triangle Radio Reading Service at 919-832-5138. And now for the highlights. Free web accessibility course. Tatiana Mack is making her course, Hacking Digital Style Guides for Accessibility, Type, Color, and Imagery, is available via Skillshare membership. There's a web accessibility article titled, There's Already a Blueprint for a More Accessible Internet. If only the designers would learn it. An advanced Braille keyboard on Android. ABK is a paid self-voicing app that allows for typing on screen or with a Bluetooth keyboard. Meet the blind YouTubers making the internet more accessible. This is a Wired article that highlights the efforts of several YouTubers. and a webinar, Advantages of Getting to Know JAWS. This from the Freedom Scientific Zoom webinar that will take place on Thursday, February 7 at 1600 GMT. A coding course, Materials, comes from Apple. Apple is producing instructional materials on coding for a variety of grading levels with Braille, large print, and sign language materials available. Materials can be downloaded from the site. Embossed Braille from Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Embossed Braille can be purchased from the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. The Apple Watch Experience. This Apple Watch user likes his Apple Watch better than he thought he would and shares his information. Dungeons and Dragons for the Blind. Groups are being created for blind people interested in playing Dungeons and Dragons with Skype conferencing to be able to get assistance. Thaumistry, Thaumistry, Thaumistry text adventure game, is now accessible for blind and visually impaired players. This is a Windows game that is said to be quite popular. And Clue, C-L-E-W. Clue is a path retracing iOS app designed for blind and visually impaired users to help them independently return to any desired locations. Software developer on Eyes on Success. Challenges of a blind software developer is the topic of Eyes on Success number 1905. Smart TV on Tech Talk. Learn about the ways to make smart TVs accessible on Tech Talk on Tuesday, February 5 at 0100 GMT. And Echo for the Blind. Mailing list. You can join a mailing list focused on people with vision impairments that can benefit from Echo devices. We move on now to the calendar of events. And first up is the WFB information, and it's provided by Robert Parrish, the Wake Federation of the Blind president. He writes, "The Wake Federation of the Blind has changed their meeting date. The location is at the usual spot, Community United Church of Christ, 814 Dixie Trail in Raleigh, and will still take place on the second Saturday of each month. As always, if you have questions or comments, please call me. My number is 919-616-1606 or at email rcp7@bellsouth.net. Robert says, I hope to see you all there. And if you are looking for some audio-described performances, please see the Arts Access website at http://www.artsaccessinc.org/ad-performances.shtml, and they will give you a listing. The Raleigh Mayor's Committee for Persons with Disabilities next meeting will be on Thursday, February 21, from noon until 1 p.m. The organization meets in room 305 of the City Municipal Building at 222 West Hargett Street in downtown Raleigh. Ricky Scott is now the Mayor's Committee Chair, and his contact information is telephone 919-673-8300 and email Ricky, that's R-I-C-K-Y, Scott, with two T's, rickyscott09@gmail.com. The Raleigh Wake Chapter of the North Carolina Council of the Blind wants you to know that they meet regularly on the second Thursday of each month from 7 until 8:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, located at 2110 Noble Road in Raleigh. Please contact Lawrence Carter at 919-856-0034 for more information about this group's schedule and its activities. Web Accessibility in a Nutshell on Wednesday, February 6. This is an interesting-sounding webinar on accessibility, and it is free of charge. It goes from 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's noon until 12:30 p.m. Central Time. It is free, and no registration is required. So if you want to listen to the broadcast, you can go to SoundCloud ADA Live, Episode 65, Web Accessibility in a Nutshell, via the web at soundcloud.com/ADA Live/. You can do it captioning in Zoom on February 6th for ADA Live, Episode 65, by going to zoom.us/J/621-886-588. And Facebook, Southeast ADA Center for ADA Live, Episode 65. Go to facebook.com/PG/Southeast ADA Center. And next on ADA Live, use of the Internet is increasingly enmeshed and vital in education, business, and daily life. However, various barriers prevent equal access and limit equal opportunity to the web for people with disabilities. This episode of ADA Live will highlight the basics of web accessibility, including why it is important, the ADA and other laws, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WCAG, and common barriers to web access. Discover some tips and best practices to help you get started in providing more accessible and usable web applications and digital materials to a diverse audience. And do you have any questions about it? You can submit your questions for web accessibility by going to adalive.org/submit_question. Finally, there's a free health fair coming up. It will be on March 30th from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the First Cosmopolitan Baptist Church, 1515 Crosslink Road, presumably in Raleigh. Services offered will include health screening, blood pressure, BMI check, mammograms, HIV/STD, kidney/stroke, and child dental screening. And there will also be giveaways. For more information, call 919-833-3283. And now for a very enjoyable portion of the reading, recipes that will bowl you over from the Chuck Wagon Gang. We have two of them, I think. Let's see. We have sausage, potato, and spinach soup. I like sausage and potatoes. I don't know about spinach, but that's what it's called. And the other one is cauliflower chowder. I've never had that. Let's start with sausage, potato, and spinach soup. The ingredients that you will need: 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 pound of spicy Italian sausage, casing removed, 3 cloves of garlic, minced, 1 onion, diced, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1/2 teaspoon of dried basil, 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, and that's optional, by the way, kosher salt, and freshly ground black pepper to your own personal taste, 5 cups of chicken broth, 1 bay leaf, 1 pound of red potatoes diced, 3 cups of baby spinach, and 1/4 cup of heavy cream. What are we going to do with all that? Well, first of all, heat the olive oil in a large stock pot or a Dutch oven over medium heat. Add the Italian sausage and cook it until it is browned, say about 3 to 5 minutes, making sure to crumble the sausage as it cooks. Drain off the excess fat. Stir in the garlic, the onion, oregano, basil, and the red pepper flakes. Cook, stirring frequently, until onions have become translucent, say about 2 to 3 minutes. Season it with salt and pepper to your taste. Stir in both chicken broth and bay leaf and bring it up to a boil. Add the potatoes and cook until tender. That'll be about 10 minutes. Stir in the spinach until it begins to wilt, about 1 to 2 minutes. Then stir in heavy cream until heated through. That'll be about a minute. And then season it with salt and pepper to taste and serve immediately. I think I could go for that, spinach and all. Now, cauliflower chowder. For this one, you're going to need one of my favorites, 4 slices of bacon. And be sure to dice the bacon. 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter. 2 cloves of garlic minced. 1 onion diced. 2 carrots peeled and diced. 2 stalks of celery diced. 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour. 4 cups of chicken broth. 1 cup of 2% milk. 1 head of cauliflower roughly chopped. 1 bay leaf. And kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper that you will use to your own taste. And finally, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley leaves. Okay, what are we going to do? Heat that large stock pot or Dutch oven, use that same thing again that we did for the last one, over medium heat. Add the bacon and cook it until it's brown and crispy, about 6 to 8 minutes. Transfer the bacon to a paper towel-lined plate and set it aside. Melt the butter in the stock pot. Add the garlic, onion, carrots, and celery. Cook all of this together, stirring it occasionally until it's tender. That's about 3 to 4 minutes. Stir in the cauliflower and the bay leaf. Cook some more, stirring occasionally until barely crisp tender, about 3 to 4 minutes. Whisk in flour until lightly browned, about a minute. Gradually whisk in the chicken broth and the milk and cook, whisking constantly until slightly thickened for about a 3 to 4 minute period. Bring it all up to a boil. Then reduce the heat and simmer it until the cauliflower are tender. That's going to take about 12 to 15 minutes. Season it with salt and pepper to taste. And if the chowder is too thick, add more milk as needed until the desired consistency is reached. Serve it immediately, garnishing it with bacon and parsley, if desired. How could you not desire garnishing it with bacon? Oh, well, sounds kind of good. We have an interesting article from the news for you in this week's edition of Spare Times. It's titled, "He's an Inspiration. Legally Blind Denver Wrestler Cam Kruger Finds Confidence on the Mat." It comes from the Des Moines Register, January 18th, 2019, out of Denver, Iowa. Did you know there was a Denver, Iowa? There sure is. Here we go. The wrestler in the all-red singlet steps into the circle on mat number 8. Camden Kruger wears a mask to protect his eyes, and with help from the official, he places his right foot on the line and sticks his right hand out toward his opponent. Across the way, Gabe Robison, a senior at Washington High School in Illinois, struts toward the center. Wearing an orange singlet with black trim, he listens as the official explains that he and Kruger will start the match hand on hand. Robison nods and then steps into the circle. This touch rule is made available for visually impaired wrestlers. Throughout the match, both wrestlers must keep contact at all times. If they break contact, the official stops the match and restarts it at the center. Kruger, a 16-year-old sophomore at Denver High School, has been visually impaired most of his life. He was born blind, and after close to 20 eye surgeries, he remains legally blind, but he's found peace and confidence thanks to weightlifting and wrestling. "He's an inspiration for every one of us," says Chris Kruger, Camden's father and Denver's head wrestling coach. "Wrestling is such a big part of our lives. I feel like it teaches kids to overcome things and to be successful. And that's exactly why I wanted wrestling to do for him. Anytime I talk about him, I get pretty emotional. He's really found himself. He's got good confidence. The way he's handled everything and grown into a fine young man, it just makes you proud as a dad." The Denver Cyclones are currently the number 2 ranked team in Class 1A, according to the predicament, with 10 ranked individuals. Camden's teammates call him Cam. He's not one of them, but he is 20-6 with 17 pins this season while competing at 195 and 220 pounds, including one against Robison earlier this month at the Clash, one of the nation's toughest dual-style tournaments. In that match, Robinson, who is number 6 ranked wrestler at 220 pounds in Illinois' Class 2A, fights for inside control to start. He takes a shot, but Cam defends with his left arm and comes up with an underhook and head control. He locks up both and from his feet rolls through and plants Robinson on his back. The official starts counting for near fall until Cam readjusts and flattens Robinson's shoulders. Pin, just 47 seconds into the first period. Cam jumps up and pumps his arms, and the official raises his hands in victory and he walks off toward his celebrating teammates. I found my strengths and started focusing on things that I can do, Cam says. I can become a better wrestler. I can get stronger through lifting, and I don't need the best eyes to do those things. It's hard, Cam explains, to describe how he sees. On a recent Tuesday evening, he's sitting inside the principal's office at Denver High School when he turns and looks at the wall just 8 feet away. That clock, he says, I can tell there is a clock there, but I can't see the numbers or anything on it. Cam was born with bilateral congenital cataracts in 2002. His mom, Jennifer, scheduled an emergency appointment at the hospital when he was not responding to light after 2.5 months. She found Chris at football practice afterwards. Cam's blind, she told him. The next 6 years featured various surgeries in Iowa City, including cataract and lens removal and strabismus surgery. He cycled through various lenses and takes medication to fight back viruses and help maintain normal eye pressure. Last year, he underwent 5 retinal detachment surgeries over 75 days, ending his wrestling season a month early. Currently, Cam has no measurable vision in his right eye and about 20/200 vision in his left. He has a laundry list of diagnoses ranging from congenital nystagmus, his eyes don't work together, to bilateral ocular hypertension, pressure in his eyes is higher than normal, to nystagmus, miscommunication in the neurological pathways between his eyes and his brain. The day they told my mom I was going to be blind, Cam says, they said we would have to put strings up in our house to help me get around. Cam's lack of sight kept him from fully keeping up with his older brothers when they were young. He's the youngest of 3. Creed, the oldest, is now an assistant coach at Denver. He quarterbacked the Cyclones to the Class A state semifinals in 2015. Cale, the middle, is a senior, a 2-time state wrestling medalist and the current number 1 ranked 170-pounder in Class 1A. I could always tell that things were different with him, Cale says. We'd be watching TV, and he'd lean to one side because one eye was better at looking at things close up. We'd play catch, and it was hard for him. I loved playing outside, but we couldn't always do that. Cam just wanted to fit in. He hated that he was different. He wanted to play quarterback just like his brothers. He refused help in school and sports. He actually did not start wrestling's touch rule until this season because he didn't think it was fair to his opponents. Chris and Jennifer tried to treat him just like Creed and Cale. Cam often had scars on his head as a child from running into tables and walls around the house. The family went to Iowa's Black Friday game against Nebraska at Kinnick Stadium last November. They sat in the 6th row. Cam could not see anything, but stood and cheered whenever the crowd erupted. He did a good job of faking it sometimes, Chris says. We'd be driving the car and some deer on the side of the road, and we'd see them, and I'd yell, "Deer," and everybody would look. But he would point out the other window and say, "I see them." Other than us, maybe his close group of friends, I don't think a lot of people realize how bad his vision has been. We sometimes tell him that to tell people about what's going on so they know. But he likes to keep it close and just fit in with everybody else. Chris Krueger grew up a wrestler and has coached at Denver since 2000, guiding the Cyclones to team titles in 2010 and 2012. He had Creed and Cale wrestling before they could walk. So at one of Cam's first hospital appointments for his eyes, he had 2 questions for the doctor. Will Cam ever drive? The driving may not happen, Chris recalls the doctor saying. Will he be able to wrestle? The doctor said, I think he can. Cam did not take to wrestling immediately. Chris said Creed and Cale often tussled in the living room as kids. But whenever Cam got involved, he would scream to them to stop. Him not being able to see, Chris says now, it was probably a little scary getting tackled all of a sudden. When he was younger, Cam did not take advantage of the touch rule at tournaments. Opponents often took him down with ease. He jokes that the fourth place spot on the podium was his spot because he was never that good. I know darn well that he was only doing it to make Dad proud, Chris says. You know, this is what my brothers do, so I don't have a choice. I'll figure it out. He struggled with it, but he always gave it his all, added Cam. Obviously, it was a lot harder to pick up some of the moves. I was never best at shooting. I'd miss the legs. Things changed around fifth grade. Cam went to the weight room with Chris one day and asked if he could try. He said he had put up 200 pounds on the bench that day. He remembers Chris reacting with excitement and pride. Cam found a home in the weight room. He did not need perfect vision to push and pull a bar, and he could see results by how easily he could put up more weight. He has a weight rack in the basement of his house. Chris will hear metal clinking long days after long days and dual losses. Lifting was a big thing for me, Cam says. I was like, I can do this. I couldn't do a lot of things, but I found this one, and I can do it really well. That knowledge instilled confidence. The wins started piling up on the mat. He was a medalist at the AAU State Wrestling Tournament in the eighth grade, winning five matches in the wrestlebacks to place fourth. He's continued to find success through his first couple of high school seasons. He was 9-15 overall last year before his retina detachment surgeries. Denver reached the finals of the state duels tournament last year, but forfeited the 182-pound bout to eventual champion Don Bosco, because nobody else made the weight in Cam's place. I could have made a difference, Cam says now. The family had a special mask built by Jaeger Prosthetics in Iowa City to help shield him from any unintentional eye pokes during wrestling matches and practice. Of his 39 career wins, 28 have been by fall. He wrestles more upper body and works with Creed daily on a multitude of throws. When we do, our life goes. Nobody wants to get their neck ripped off. And if they go with him, there's a good chance of that happening. Chris says Cam will get a crack at the postseason this year. He could reach next month's state championships in Des Moines. His teammates believe he's already left a lasting impact regardless of how his postseason unfolds. It's crazy how he can wrestle, says Brock Farley, Denver's number one ranked heavyweight. And not only wrestle, but pin kids, too. Sometimes his opponents will walk out there kind of lackadaisical, and then Cam tosses them on their head and we're all like, woo! I don't even know how to describe it. Everything about him is impressive. It's inspiring. He doesn't let anything hold him back. A few weeks after attending the Hawkeyes' win over Nebraska last November, Cam and his parents were back in Iowa City. A team of doctors created a mold of his left eye and sent it to Europe in the hopes of making a scleral contact lens, which helps many vision problems. Chris said the doctors weren't sure if it would help Chris with his host of diagnoses and surgeries from over the years, but they figured they would try it anyways. Life-changing, Cam says now, the best moment of my life. Cam and his parents went to the top of the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital, the area where the fans waved toward after the first quarter of the Iowa home games, and looked out at Kinnick Stadium down below. Cam saw the Tiger Hawk at midfield and the hash marks. He looked up and saw the water tower. The scleral lens gives Cam vision in his left eye. He still has none in his right, that he previously did not have, especially with far distances. He wears glasses to help with seeing things close up. He primarily wears it during school and when he feels he needs it because sometimes it causes headaches, and it doesn't help him on the mat. But it has opened new possibilities for him. He hopes to discover new passions, new interests, and he does not plan on taking them for granted. On the drive home from Iowa City, Chris saw some Canadian geese in the sky and told Jennifer and Cam to look. Immediately, I was like, crap, I did it again, Chris says now. But he's like, I see them this time. That was pretty cool. Then he goes, you guys really undersell the beauty of the sky. Cody Goodwin covers wrestling and high school sports for the Des Moines Register. You can follow him at Cody Goodwin on Twitter. You have been listening to the Triangle Radio Reading Service presentation of the February 1, 2019 edition of Spare Times, News and Notes of the Raleigh Outlaws. We certainly hope that you have enjoyed it. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And it is readily available as a podcast at www.triangleReadingService.org. I'm Dick Hayden for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.